All right, so we're starting on page 54 at the bottom where it says the peace of God. We have started this chapter on peace, knowing that true peace comes from the Lord. It's not something that we can attain on our own. To have the peace that the Lord's talking about has to come from a relationship with Him, and salvation and then a relationship with the Lord. But it helps us, just like we were talking about joy, and that doesn't, you know, that isn't something that we need to be. It's not our circumstances that are going to bring us joy. Well, it's not in our circumstances that we're going to always have peace. The peace comes from the Lord and not from things, if things are going smoothly in our life. Because things can be in an upheaval, and you can still have peace with the Lord because you're walking close to Him. Because you know that He's going to be your strength in your times of storm, and He's going to be there for you, and you can still have that peace that passes all understanding because you know the Lord. And that's what this peace that we're talking about. It's not a calm in your life. It's not something that's where you just, you know, everything's just peaceful and. It's not that kind of.
So again, like joy, it's not from outside.
Exactly.
It's from the inside.
Exactly. Peace comes from knowing the Lord. There's that little acronym, know as in N-O, peace. Know Jesus, no peace. But then it says K-N-O-W, know Jesus, no peace. So that's something that you can say over, you know, it's like, I have the Lord. I know He walks by my side. We've learned through this whole, every one of these lessons that we've been in so far, we've learned that the closer I stay to the Lord, the more I try to serve others, the more love I will show, the more joy I will have, and now the greater peace I will have, because I know I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. What are you throwing it at me for? Sally. So let's go to Philippians 4:7. Like, I know there's in here somewhere. She's out there. I'm trying to ignore her. Okay. All right, so where I was talking about the peace that passes all understanding, that's in this verse here. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we know that the true peace of God comes from who? According to this verse.
Christ
Jesus. Very good. Okay, so it's not anything that I can do. Because the peace comes from Him. So we know that we can't have peace, but we can get peace through the Lord. Now, how would you define this peace? Anybody have anything written down? How do you define?
Assurance.
Okay, that's good. Anything else?
Well, I have calm, fearless knowledge that the Lord is with me.
Exactly, that knowing that the Lord is with you. I put a calm, even though I could be going through a trial. Just knowing that I'm not alone in my trial. Still, even though you can be a little anxious, you can be a little uncertain about what's happening and what's next coming up, because we don't know that, but the Lord does. So just having that sense of calmness in your spirit that the Lord knows what's ahead. I don't have to know what's ahead. And that tends to bring a calmness in your spirit.
What is reassuring to know that I don't have to rely on myself.
Exactly.
I mean, especially when you're overwhelmed and you don't know what's going on, and if you had to rely on yourself, what would you do?
You'd be in the bed with the covers over your head.
Yeah, there you go.
We would stay in. We wouldn't have no interaction with anyone. We literally would just be, let's just stay in.
Like a little roly-poly bug?
Yes, we'd roll up into a little ball. They just tuck tail in, we'd end up as this ineffective person. We wouldn't be able to give to anyone else. We wouldn't be able to share with anyone. None of these things would happen if we were relying on our strength. But God says, my strength is made perfect in you. It's like we're getting everything that Jesus is. We have that at our disposal. We have that at our, for the asking, in a sense. We can have his strength, his boldness, all of it. We can have all of who he is. We can have all of that, but we limit ourselves. We are the ones that don't take advantage of all of the things that Christ could do through us because we're human. And we doubt and we're afraid. But in the long run, it's like, we know that we're this way and we know where we can get our strength from, but then we still don't tend to do it all the time because of who we are and our characteristics and our our personality and those kind of, it's like I've noticed people that you know them before and they're one way and then they get saved and all of a sudden they're just this totally different type of person. And it's like, that's how we all can be, but we all don't tend to allow the Lord to do that in our lives. Can we have this peace all the time? Or is it only for when there's an anxiety or a crisis? And our memory verse is Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So that, in a nutshell, basically says, no, I can have this peace and this calm all the time. When it's a choice that I make whether I have this peace or not. Because the Lord said if my mind is stayed on thee, then I'm going to have that peace. But it's up to me. Christ isn't going to keep my mind stayed on him. That's something I have to do. There's a task that I have to undertake, and I have to stay in his word, and I have to stay keep my focus on the Lord and what it is that he wants me to do. But we're easily distracted, we're easily swayed to do, other things. This is for Mrs. Dawson's birthday. Mrs. Dawson, Carmen, it's her birthday, and so we're passing the card around to get it signed as much as we can. Okay, so have you found the key to having peace in your heart?
Yes.
Yes. Is what?
Keeping your mind on Jesus.
Exactly.
Over the last couple of weeks, just going with this lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I have a brother who's a deaf mute.
Mm-hmm.
And a son who's lost his mind.
Mm.
And both of them are in very serious trouble. Serious trouble, two different states.
Right.
And yesterday I was just agonizing about my problem. My problem. My brother, my son, my problem. Brain going over and over and over and over. then I sat down to do my lesson. And as I was going through this, it just dawned on me. It's not my problem.
Exactly.
I can choose to not let it be my problem.
Exactly.
And once I got that thought in my brain, it just seemed to bring all the anxiety down.
Exactly.
I didn't think about it no more yesterday.
It's like, Lord, I have.
You know what? That's not my problem.
I have to give this to you. You know them. You made them. God,
they,
you know,
made those choices.
And they've made choice. They've made their own choices. Exactly.
Because if they had listened to me, they wouldn't have made those choices. But they did, and now they got some serious
issues.
But it was just amazing to me how the minute I started to doing this lesson and thinking about the peace. I didn't get a visitation.
Well, yeah, this is a good thing, probably.
You know,
yeah.
I wouldn't have been here this morning, but I had it. It was just a very common thing, yeah.
And so that's a true example. Here she decided, instead of having all of that anxiety and everything else, she chose to get in her Bible, get in her Sunday school book, and do that lesson. And look what the Lord gave her, was a calm and a peace. But that was a choice. She could have said, no, I'm too anxious. I can't do this now. I'm too overwhelmed. I can't, you know, do this lesson. But she chose to let the Lord speak to her and use her, and then she gleaned a blessing. So then she gleaned a blessing, and that she was able to share with us, so that we have had a blessing. And we see that what we're talking about in class works. Now we're going to go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. This is talking about experiencing the peace of God. Excuse me. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Thankful. That's another big thing that goes along with contentment, is being thankful for our circumstances. We can be thankful for the trials that we have, because they help us to grow. They grow our faith. They help us to see where we've come from. They prepare us for something else. They prepare us to minister to someone else who's... Nothing in your life is a coincidence. Things in your life prepare you to minister to someone else. There are hurting people, and when you start talking to them, you see that we're all very similar. We've all gone through certain situations that are the same, maybe not quite the same, but close to being the same, where you've gone through a trial, you've gone through something, you've had a death of a loved one, and then they're having a death of a loved one. God gives you the empathy to share that with other people. But that was a trial at one time for you that you weren't sure that you were going to get through. But then someone ministered to you, and it's like a big circle. It just keeps going around and around. And I have an experience, and the Lord helps me through it. Then I can share that with you, because you're going through it now. Or you went through it and you didn't have any, and you're still grieving about something. Well, we can share things, and we can pray together. And so everything that you have that you experience in your life is like a stepping stone to something else, or to help someone else. So in a sense, be thankful for some of the things that we have in our lives that we're not sure about, and what the Lord's doing, but He may be preparing you for somewhere down the road a little ways, that he has someone that's going to be going through this too, and you're going to be right there to help them. So just keep that in mind, that the situations that the Lord has us in, we can just think about it in that way, that, okay, Lord, I'm going to go through this, and I know you're right here with me, but show me who I can be a blessing to. Show me who I can, you know, use this for, you know, when the time comes. Because sometimes when we get self-centered and we get to the point where, you know, we're not focusing on the Lord, but we're focusing inward too much, we could miss a blessing. We could miss an opportunity to minister to someone because we're too focused on ourselves. And we don't see the hurting people next to us or in our, where we work, or who we've just gone by, or, you know, that kind of stuff. We don't see how we can minister to someone because we're not looking for it. We're not keeping our eyes open to be able to minister. So question 9, when are you the most likely to lose the peace of God in your life? During trials, that's a good point. Bev?
When I try to be in control and not accept what Christ has for me.
Exactly. When I'm in myself, when I'm not doing what he wants, when I'm focusing on myself and not on others, you know that it's, that you're not supposed to be doing that. But it's hard sometimes because you feel like this is all I can do right now. But you know that your strength will come if you just get close to the Lord. What may cause you to be filled with anxiety instead of peace at this time?
Desperation. Because I can't make it happen the way I think it should be.
Well, exactly. And having no strength to get through what it is that I've gotten myself into, in a sense.
Well, we're thinking of self, not trusting in Christ.
Right.
Again, it becomes I.
There we are.
Goes to God, praying or doing whatever we need to do to get out of this situation.
Right, exactly. Lord, give me somebody to call. I need to call somebody that needs to talk, or impress on my heart somebody that I need to pray for. Just anything but what I'm focusing on right now. Just, Lord, help me to get, you know, or even if you just start praying for, grab the directory and just start going down the list and praying for people. And then all of a sudden it's like your focus is somewhere else. And just like Carlene, she was worried about her son and her brother. What did she do? She got in God's word. She got in her lesson. And like she said, the rest of the day, I didn't think about them at all. And that's just such a blessing.
Another example this morning, coming to church, Lily was like, oh, I'm sick, oh, you know, and I'm like, okay, is she really sick, or she just want to turn around and go home, or what, you know, and I was kind of worrying, and I just started praying, and it did change the whole perspective from me trying to argue with her, or trying to, you know, find out anything, or whatever, just... It changed that whole perspective to, you know what, you know, God's in charge. I'm praying about it. If he wants us to go home,
he'll make it evident. He'll make it evident.
If he doesn't want us to go home, I guess we have to trust you, Lord, to do it, you know.
Exactly.
And if she throws up on me, well, so
then what? Exactly.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Right.
It's just, you know, the change of perspective of yourself, and that's so much healthier, really.
Oh, exactly.
You know, than to be worrying about something you have no control over.
Right, because because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. We don't know what's down, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the next hour, you know, the next 10 minutes. It could all just be over. Yes, ma'am.
I'm worried about my brother.
Right.
But I said, God is in control. Whatever it is in his heart, trust in the Lord that he will speak to his heart.
Exactly.
What happened to him. And he gonna run away for the all the problem in where he's at in my hometown.
Uh-huh.
And when I talked to him, I said, I've been praying for you that God will help you to do what you're gonna do and what your decision is.
Exactly.
And then I was talking to Miss Anna Luxin, Pastor Mario Luxin's wife, and I said, and she's gonna worry on how to get in the Philippines because we had a title. And I listened back to her and I said, God can only stop the big storm pass. I pray that the big storm is gonna pass by in my hometown.
Right.
Because you can go. Now I said that trust in the Lord is the only one that can bring you over there safely.
Right.
And she texts me back and said, thank you for your encouragement.
See, right, and you helped her, and you both ended up with having peace about what it was that was going on. And that's just another example of how we have to get out of ourselves. We have to look at other people and see, how can I help them? How can I be a blessing to them? Lord, just it's like I can't stress more how we just have to get past ourselves and get out of that where it all has to be about me, because it doesn't do anything for us. It doesn't help us be better. It's kind of a defeating way to be. And even when you're, I don't know how to say this, even if you're, like we talked about at the beginning when we were in our first couple of chapters, even if you don't think a lot of yourself and you just keep putting that out, like, I don't have anything to give and I can't do this and I can't do that. In your mind, you're saying it. I'm not being selfish because I can't do things, but you are. You're still bringing that focus on you, whether it's negative focus or it's positive focus. The focus is still in the wrong spot. It's not on what can I do for someone else. How can I help someone else? Yes, Ms. Dorothy. Exactly. Who's on the throne in your life? Is it you or is it God? He has to be, or our lives are meaningless. If he doesn't have control in our lives, what's the point? And further on, I was looking at a couple of other things in here, and it was like, why do we feel like we know better than God? Like, God, I know you can handle this situation, but, you know, it's always the...
It never seems like he's moving fast.
I know.
I need instant help. Where are you?
He's like, I'm right here, but that's not the way I... Exactly. And so it's like, And because we live in the here and now, and we live in this time-crazed world that we're in, that's what we have a problem with, because we don't see, when we pray, we don't necessarily see an answer right now. But that could be an answer in itself, because he's saying to wait. That's a word we don't quite like so much, is wait. But yeah, no, he's like, no. Exactly. So many things can rob us of peace, but I think worry and fear are two of the most common thieves. What sorts of things cause you to worry? Now, we could all go around the room, and not everybody's going to have something different. It's not a pat answer, because everybody has a situation in their lives that is something that can cause worry, and, you know. So all of us have, but we all know that who is in control. And that has to be our focus when we allow ourselves to drop down into that worry place, that, Lord, are you there? You know, and we have to give it to him, that, you know. And then, you know, there's things that strike fear in our heart, and they could be as simple as talking to another person, sharing God's love with someone. I think we all have, and even the people that witness very, very well still say they have this moment of fear and anxiety when it's time to do that. But if you're going in the Lord's strength, it's not coming from you. These aren't my words. This isn't what I want to say. This is what you want me to say. And if we go into it the right mindset, then we can be a better witness. And Satan is notorious for putting these doubts and this fear, and fear itself is a big, we can even if you think of fear as this big black desperado kind of person, fear, you know, it's like whatever is scary in your life, that's, give fear a picture, give it a mental picture. And he doesn't want your money, he doesn't want your jewels, he doesn't want your car, he wants something more precious, he wants your peace of mind. So if he can keep you in fear, you're ineffective. You're ineffective for the Lord, you're ineffective in your life, you're just ineffective. And he doesn't want us to make those journeys where we're going up the mountain to the Lord. He wants us down in the valleys where, you know, but we know from the song that the choir sings, there's peace in the valley. Exactly. So we can have peace down here in the valley because we're allowing the Lord to work in our life. We can have peace on the mountaintops when we're really close to the Lord and he's, and we feel him close to us. But no matter where we are in that journey, we can have peace if we don't give in to fear. Just if we think of him as being an actual person that wants to make me ineffective, then it gives fear a different perspective. You have a different perspective on it. It's like, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to let you rule in my life. I'm going to stay close to the Lord, and I'm going to let him rule in my life. And then I will have peace in my heart. I will be comforted. I will have joy, and I will show love. All of those things that we've been learning so far, they're all going to, but if we let peace, if we let fear control us, then we're not going to get much.
I think one of the biggest things I learned growing up is that we all have an inner voice.
Uh-huh.
That was, to me, the most amazing thing, to find out that other people had that inner voice inside them. I used to think that only I had this voice that sat over here, and it was the most negative thing I had ever been involved with in my life. It was constantly in my ear telling me, you're not this, you're not that.
You're not worthy. Exactly.
Nobody likes you. Everybody thinks you're funny looking, you know?
Oh, I had one of those voices too.
Told me some of the most ridiculous things.
Uh-huh.
Until I started talking to other people and found out they had that same voice.
Thank you, Rodney.
They had that voice that told them that same crazy stuff. And once you realize that that voice belongs to everybody, just not you personally.
Exactly.
Then you start to go, okay, voice, you know what?
You've kind of lost your effectiveness here.
You just need to get on over there and leave me alone. Because everybody else is going through the same thing. And that's when you start taking the focus off yourself.
Exactly. And as women, it's so, Carmen has gone over this and over this and over this. As women, we share so many things, but we keep them to ourselves because we're afraid that somebody's gonna, but it's like we're all going through this same type of, I don't like my hair, and I don't like my eyes, and I don't like my body, and I don't like this, and you know, but I do like this, and I, you know, and everybody's got something that, but then when she we were going over the verse in Psalms that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's like that I clung to that because it's like, but yes, Lord, I may not think that I'm attractive or, you know, all of these things, whatever it is that's our problem, but you made me. I am fearfully and the Lord made me just because, and just the way he wanted me. And I should be grateful for that because my life could have been a whole lot worse than it was. You know, there's always somebody else that has a disability. You know, it's like I can hear and I can see and I can breathe and I can walk and I have all of my limbs and they all work, and it could be worse because there's somebody else worse in our lives that we know that, you know. So we're going to stop at question 12. We won't have class next week, but we'll have it the following week. So that's going to be the 6th, the 13th of September will be our next class.
I will be out of town.
And you'll be out of town already.
Katie.
Yes, ma'am.
I got some. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's the only thing I know.
Because?
He trusts in thee.
Yay. Perfect! Yay! See, I knew you could do it. Yay, Kathy. Alrighty.
Hey, Kathy, you and I are catching up. We're catching up to him.
I try.
We're catching up to him. We just got to stop saying we can't.
All right, so all of us signed this. All right, so I will pass this on.
He is sitting in a chair, just looking, but he's sitting there.
Oh,
I shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
He's getting better.
Little by little.
That's his bonus, but he's getting better. All right, ladies. We need to just put the chairs back. She went to class.
I didn't even have to walk her to the door.
Well, yeah.
It's Rose.
How old is she?
She just turned 5.
Okay.
Yeah, on the 20th of August.
Yay.
She's
getting better.
He tore a cane on the 27th of August.
My throat doesn't hurt. It did the last couple days. It's not. I think it's too dry. It's a little sore, but it's just my. I think it's just because there's stuff running down my throat.
Are you worrying?
No.
No worrying allowed. Your job is over?
My job is over.
And yeah, you're going on vacation?
Yeah.
And you want to go see your daughter?
No.
No?
We're just going to northern Arizona.
What size are you?
Just Sarah and I, we're going on a little vacation.
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us.
Exactly. Whatever you do, though, don't let him make you sleep outside.
No, we have hotel rooms.
Okay. Till we get these tables.
Yeah, we have a hotel room. We're going to go have some fun. We're going to be outside. We're going to be seeing nature and all of these kinds of things that we like.
Yes, Katie.
Yes, ma'am.
Every bit of mine has peanut butter.
Alrighty. I will let people know that. Alright, I turned you off. Why are you not?